Here we are. Can I get that microphone? No, it's okay. I like pace largely because it stops people hitting you if you're moving about a lot, but also just in general.
You're going to stand up and walk around?
I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to go onto the audience and do magic tricks. I'm just going to I do find it easier on my fingers.
Okay.
So forgive me, just old habits die hard. Regionalism. Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation to come to the summer school. I was telling Malik earlier, it's the only summer school I've never been to in the past 30 years. I don't know how long you've been going, but it's a pleasure after all these years to finally be here. In terms of talking about the idea of the region or regionalism, because obviously it's the John Hewitt Summer School, I went for the quote, which is actually at the beginning of this year's programme. You know, an area which possesses geographical and economic coherence, some sort of traditional and historical identity, and demonstrates cultural and linguistic individuality. From Hewitt. So taking that as a very broad definition of either what a region is or what regionalism is, trying to see if Northern Ireland fits into that definition. And in terms of, you know, if geographical coherence, no. Because, well, to start with, there's a border, you know, running down it. So there isn't a coherence. And neither side, you know, the Republicans who want a united Ireland would say that the two-state system, or even Northern Ireland as a separate, small, unsuccessful state, bars any possible coherence. So in that sense, it's not coherence. Economic coherence. Well, you could argue, and some people would, that in terms of Northern Ireland, it requires a massive subsidy every year from the UK Exchequer. And not only that, it's dependent on probably the biggest public sector in Western Europe. So in that sense, it lacks an economic coherence. And set against that, Republicans would argue that the only way you will get an economic coherence is when you unite Ireland. When you stop having two health services and two education services and two this and two that, you will get the coherence that way. In terms of the cultural linguistic identity. Yeah. There is a cultural linguistic identity. In fact, there are two. Unionists champion one cultural and linguistic identity, and nationalist Republicans champion another linguistic cultural identity. And we've seen, in the particularly since the Anglo-Irish Agreement, we've seen the rise both of Irish-speaking and of Ulster Scots. And the irony, of course, is that when they do choose to use the common language of English, they have no idea what the other one's saying, because there's so much nuance in the language. You know, so in that sense, that doesn't exist either. The traditional historical identity, well, again, Republicans would argue that that identity, their identity, was stripped from them. You know, pick a date, whether it's 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 800 years, it was taken from them, and they're trying to get it back. Whereas unionists would argue, well, you know, from their experience, and in terms of, you know, there hasn't been a moment in the past 800 years when what constitutes their wee country, Northern Ireland, has not been part of the United Kingdom. So their historical, traditional identity is under the crown, because they have known nothing. Are their forefathers' forefathers? So they will argue that there's no... So in terms of does Hewitt's definition of region or regionalism meet what Northern Ireland is? It doesn't. It doesn't meet any of those definitions. There's no common identity, there's no common culture, there's no common language in terms of political negotiation, in terms of understanding what one is saying to the other. There's no joint vision for the future of a country or a region. And there isn't even a competent government. I mean, let's face it, we can't even agree what we call this place. Whether it's Northern Ireland, or the province, or the six counties, or the north, there's no agreement on any of that. So, in basic terms, Hewitt's definition of region does not fit Northern Ireland. So what is Northern Ireland in that case? If it's not a region, in some sense, it's not even a proper country, a full country in the sense that we would understand the country. You know, some people, I think it was Arthur Ockey, who came up with the phrase, it may not have been the first to use it, but certainly the first time I heard it about 30 years ago, he described it as a place apart. And peoples parted. You know, where you... And it's a list of things. I was thinking, I mean, it's a sort of list came off the top of my head when I was thinking about this the other day. Well, we are, we're not quite Irish, but nor are we quite fully British. Not quite power-sharing, but equally not quite, you know, naked hostility. Not quite compromise, not quite stalemate. Not quite new era politics, not quite the dreary steeples. Not quite the government, not quite a vacuum. Not quite normal, not yet howling at the moon, although we're working away. Not quite
constructive ambiguity, but not quite destructive clarity. Not quite a region, not quite a country in the sense that anyone understands. Not quite truth and reconciliation, not quite tooth and nail hostility. Not quite a peace process, not quite a piss-off process. Somewhere between all of that, you know, after all these centuries, after all this time, after all the negotiations, going back to the Home Rule crisis right the way through the 1920s, the 1970s discussions, the 1980s discussions, the 1990s, the peace agreement. Where we've arrived with Northern Ireland, not a region, not a country, but we are basically, we've reached that point, or with it, we are the not quite people, with the not quite anything people. And the tragedy and potential joy, or the potential tragedy and potential joy of that position, is that when you're not quite one thing or the other, it can very dramatically, very quickly go one way or the other. And the obvious question, you know, people say, which way do you think as a columnist and an observer, which way do you think it'll go?
I come back to my argument, I'm not quite sure.